Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is, My name is Alan Simonton, and I am on staff here at Grace Hill. Man, I am excited to study God's Word with you guys. I mean, I'm pumped to study the Bible with you guys this morning. You guys excited? Seriously, y'all look super excited. I can see it. Sitting on the edge of your seats, and posture really does mean a lot. It really does mean, like, you're sitting up, you're leaned in, and, you know, I believe that when you come before God with an expectant heart and leaned in and listening, I just believe that He's able to do so much more in your life. I believe that. So I'd like everybody, if you would, go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to go ahead and open up our Bibles. We're going to be in the New Testament. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. If you don't know, it's the very first book in the New Testament. See, we're learning stuff already. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, if you would. One of the most underappreciated attributes of Jesus is His sense of focus. Because when we talk about Jesus, we're quick to run to the fact that He's merciful, and certainly He was, and thank God for that, and that He's loving and compassionate, but I think we often miss just how focused Jesus is and was on His earthly mission. If you ever study the Gospels, and I encourage you to do it, don't just take my word for it, just go through and notice all of the times that people tried to get Jesus off of His mission. Not just His enemies, they certainly tried to, but even His disciples. Peter even says to Jesus that, you know, you don't need to die. He says that this shouldn't happen to you. You're a king. You don't need to die. And Jesus responded with, "Get behind me, Satan." See, now Peter's associated with Satan, and Jesus said that you don't have the things of God in mind, but of men. So anytime Jesus saw people mindful of the things of men and not of God, He would just put them behind Him and move on forward in His mission. Even when they were trying to get Him to come down off the cross and save Himself, it was the one thing that He couldn't do. Technically, he could have, you know. The scripture says that He could have called legions of angels and at His side and obliterate darkness, but He couldn't save Himself because He was saving us in the act of giving Himself, and He never lost His focus. When they tried to get Him to defend Himself, it says that He was silent as a sheep before the shearers, as a lamb going to slaughter. He didn't say a word. He was focused. I admire that about Jesus, and I seek to emulate it. There are things in my life that I have to be pretty focused on. Part of my job in this church is to help make this service as excellent as it can be when it comes to the creative elements. And in so many ways, I think we've seen some drastic improvement on things, how we're moving forward. And I'm grateful that we're blessed with a wonderful volunteer team and leadership team at Grace Hill that are saying each week, what are we doing and how can we get better? We could have said, well, we're in this building now and, oh man, we're not setting up and tearing down every Sunday. We've made it. Yeah. Okay, now it's time to relax. We could have said that. But no, every week it's been about focus and drive and creating a church where people come to a place of salvation in Jesus Christ and then begin to progress into a transformed life and living with the purpose that God has for them. Amen? Okay, this actually may be a little bit of a hard transition here, but I'm going to try it anyways. It may be a little bizarre, but stay with me. The Europeans had some, right there it already starts off a little bit, kind of a weird transition. The Europeans had some pretty ingenious forms of torture that they invented and implemented in the Middle Ages. Stay with me. It's not just soccer that they torture us with. No. For you soccer fans out there. If only Pastor Michael could have heard that. In the Middle Ages, they had many forms of torture, barbaric and sadistic, yes, but brilliant. And one of them, they would take the victim and tie each one of their limbs to a different horse. There you go. So there would be four different horses that would pull the victim. Now, this practice is barbaric and as uncomfortable as this rendering may be to look at. I try to make it as blurry as possible because it's kind of freaky. The French, they had a particular name for this. And you may not believe what it's called. The French used to call this form of torture, when they would drag someone to death in four different directions, the French called it distraction. Distraction. And when I heard about this in conjunction with the text we're going to study, it only seems fitting that today's message is called Death by Distraction. Death by Distraction. And I want to talk to you today about the things that draw our attention and pull our focus from the things that matter most. Okay? Are you easily distracted? I'm not. Hey, nice shirt. Listen, So I'm somebody, you know, who can stay on just one thing for a long time. Oh, all right, it's a struggle for me. I really, really can't. But you know, I notice that we live in a world where so much of our attention span is being murdered by multitasking. It's death by distraction. I thought this would be a helpful topic since we live in an age where all of the information in the universe fits into our pocket. Thought it might be helpful to preach a message about death by distraction. Do you have any idea how many things in your life have died? That you never knew came into your life because you were distracted, too distracted to see them coming. How many moments you missed last month because you were too distracted to see them? And often we spend our time in church asking God to give us blessings. And I think a lot of what needs to happen is sometimes when we're here, we just need to actually get our eyes fixed on the blessings that are before us. And get our focus off of the distractions that have come to rob us from those blessings. You know, Jesus says something interesting in John 10:10. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Comes to destroy your life. Yet he doesn't destroy your life at gunpoint. No, he doesn't destroy your life in a way that you can see. He destroys by distraction. It's killing your focus. It's killing your mind. It's killing your peace. It's killing your opportunities. It's killing your joy. It's killing your relationships. It's killing your career. It's killing what could have been. It's killing what might be. It's killing you. It's death by distraction. Is it just me, or do you ever feel pulled apart? Sometimes even while I'm preaching, I feel distracted, and I'll get distracted. I look out at different people's faces, and some people just, they look so bored when I'm up here preaching. And it, talk about distraction. I mean, how am I supposed to preach over that? All right, I staged that to happen. Now, what you need to know is that I did that because I wanted to have an illustration of what it's like to live in the world, trying to parent in a world of distraction, trying to be pure in a world of distraction, trying to be focused and pray and serve God. And we're pulled apart. We're going this way and we're going that way. And it's one thing to be distracted by the bad things, I understand that, but sometimes I'm being pulled apart by four different things that are really good. And I want to interact with my kids, but I also got to get the sermon ready. And there's a phone call that needs to be returned, and I want to pray and seek God, but I also got to handle some business every once in a while. I'm distracted, I'm pulled apart. And this person wants something, and that person needs something. And they expected something. I'm distracted. And I feel like I could be really good at one thing if I could only do that one thing. Have my day in blocks and hours. If life came with that do not disturb button like the iPhone, if my kids on their forehead, they just had that little slider, I could just slide that little button over with the cross, and I just need 90 minutes. I just need 90 minutes. No, we're not watching Frozen again because Daddy needs to get some work done. I don't care if you want to build a snowman. Okay? I need to focus. It's death by distraction. But fortunately, Jesus, he had some things to say about distraction. And verse 1 in Matthew chapter 13, it'll be up on the screen, it's in your notes. Hopefully you brought your Bibles, got your apps open. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. What now? Now, I'm a little ADD, so I see this and I get distracted by that phrase, and I want to know what happened that day. So I went back to chapter 12 and I looked at verse 46 and it says this. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. It's fascinating. Not only was Jesus not willing to be distracted by his enemies, but he wouldn't even be distracted by the people closest to him. Now, if you're sitting next to a teenager in the room, tell him, don't try this at home. Your mom wants to see you. I must do the will of... No, you must go to your mom. Who is my mother? The one who pays the light bill, the one who wiped your butt, that is who your mother is. Amen? Tell a teenager, watch out. But I'm pointing out that before we get into this passage where Jesus is going to teach us about a distracted heart, we see the master dealing with his own distractions. We see him dealing with his own distractions. Good distractions, but his focus is a great example for our lives. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed. I love the image of scattered, because it's an image of how life is. It's scattered. The seed is just scattered. Do you ever feel like you're getting your seed in a row and then life hits and it all gets scattered? No matter how many plans or how many times you try to organize it. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So whoever's listening and really focused, let them hear. Jesus goes on to explain this in verse 18. If you want to look at that, it says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Now, I've often heard this parable explain that each type of soil in this passage describes four different types of people, and some people are like the seed among the path that gets snatched up. They hear the gospel, they don't pay attention to it, they don't receive it. Some people are like the second type of soil, where they spring up quickly and they get excited and they may raise their hands in worship, or they may make some kind of decision, but they don't follow through. It gets too hard. The third type is they're just too consumed with the world and they get choked out. And then there's the fourth type of soul, whom we all silently believe we are, and that's the 100 return soil. The thing is this really a description of four different categories of people, or does this describe four different conditions of all of our hearts at any given time? Like, is it possible at 9 a.m. I might be the person who's the good soil, and by noon I might be getting a little rocky, and by 3 o'clock the thorns might be choking me to death? Jesus is describing the condition of our hearts. So today I'd like to talk about these four soils, these different distracted states of our heart, and I would like for you to prayerfully consider with me today how your own heart might be distracted from the great things that God wants to do for you. In this parable, we see different results. In the first one, Jesus said that the first seeds fell along the path but were quickly snatched up by the birds. And you can write that in your notes. That's number one, is snatched. Everybody say snatched. It gets snatched before you can even get home from church. It gets snatched before you can even write the notes. It gets snatched. Have you ever had something snatched out of your life by distraction? Now, as I get older, I'm noticing more and more that it's getting harder for me to carry a thought from the time it hits my brain to the time I need to act upon it. It's just, it's happening. I see it. Sometimes it's so bad I can't even get it written down before it's snatched. But Jesus says, along the path as you're living your life, there's a function of the enemy where he wants to snatch the good stuff before it has the opportunity to bear fruit in your life. A farmer went forth and sowed seed, and it was scattered, and some of it got snatched. Now, all through your week last week, seed was sown, opportunities were given, responsibilities were assigned, moments were created. There were times when you could have engaged with somebody, blessed somebody, but before you could do it, here came the birds, and it got snatched. You see, the crazy thing about seed getting snatched is that you never know what it could have been, because you only ever saw it as a seed, and then it got snatched. Jesus said this, and I find it very modern, that there are these birds of the air, and they snatch up the moments in your life and replace it with something that can be rather insignificant. Yep, there they are. The birds. There you go. Am I right? And instead of engaging around the table with people that you love, your family, you're checking with your thumb on people you don't even know on social media. You know what happened? Dinner just got snatched. And this will happen when you leave church today. You're going to hear this word, seed gets sown, and you may not even make it out of the parking lot before this thing gets snatched. Somebody's going to cut you off, you get mad, and the seed gets snatched. You know what the devil would hate? He would hate if you left church today and had an actual conversation about the sermon. There's so much good that is going over your life. Don't let the good seed be sown into your life and then let it get snatched. You know, it's in little ways too. You'll sit there, and I've done this, you'll sit there on Netflix, and instead of watching a movie, you'll spend 2 hours looking for a movie to watch, and now you don't have time to watch a movie. You know what happened? Your date night just got snatched. Your movie night just got snatched. Man, snatched. The second kind of soil the seed fell onto was rocky and shallow. because the plants had no roots. They were scorched by the sun and died. That's number two in your notes. Scorched. Second kind of soil, it's tricky because it looks good. You see in verse 5, it says, some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. This is for all of us who are living life at a superficial and shallow level. You see, we are very busy, but we are barren. We are busy, but barren. You returned all your text messages, didn't say a thing. LOL emoticon, didn't say a thing. You found out that the person that you went to high school with, who you didn't even talk to in high school, what they had for lunch. I mean, I'm convicted as I preach to you guys, because lately so much of what I see in my life is planted in shallow soil. And this is problematic because it has the appearance of life, but it isn't life. It has the appearance of productivity, but it's not. It has no root. Root represents commitment. Commitment. Root represents what you are really anchored to. So many of us are unrooted, and that's why we're so easily distracted. This shows up in our life in many ways. Some of you have been saying for years, I'm going to get a little healthier. I really need to do something about this. This is something I need to change. But you have no root. What I'm saying is you really haven't committed to do what it takes to move forward in that goal. Anybody has a birthday in the office? Anybody? Eat a cupcake. Joe in finance, give me that cupcake. You don't even know Joe. I'll start the diet on Tuesday. This makes no sense. There's no root. First time your toe gets hurt, you stub it on the coffee table. Man, you are on the DL for 7 weeks. Your season is over. You don't even see the gym. What happened? Don't have any root. I'm just using fitness here because I feel like it's something we can kind of all relate to. But what I'm talking about here is seed that gets scorched because we didn't plant it deep enough. Jesus said the third kind of soil was full of thorns, which choked out the seeds as they grew. Number three in your notes, the word is choked. Choked. Verse 22, he says an explanation of this type of soil. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. You see there, he says, the worries of life. The worries, not the responsibilities of this life. That is not what is killing you. It's the worries of this life that are choking you out. Some of us are not distracted by the things that are actually happening to us in our lives. We're distracted by our interpretation of the things that are happening in our lives. And it's clever how the enemy plays this hand, because he can destroy you by distracting you, and he doesn't even have to do anything to you. He just leads you to think that it might happen. You're choking on the worries of this life, choking on the decisions that your kids might make that they haven't even had a chance to make. And sometimes when your mind gets going this way, it's hard to get a breath. Because you're choking. The worries of this life are choking you out. And it's another thing. It says the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, when we read this, it says the deceitfulness of wealth will choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I know you might think this is for like the super rich and for the billionaires, but you know what? I found out I've got a lot of stuff too. So here's how it works. Wealth is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. If you have it, he gave it. Without him, wouldn't be possible. But it's when it tricks you and you begin to think that stuff can satisfy, that you begin to choke. Because now I need more stuff. for more satisfaction. It's death by distraction. So today we're talking about four different types of soil. But the fourth soil in the parable Jesus taught was the good soil, the one that produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30 fold of what was sowed. And that's what we want to be. So that can't be the fourth distraction. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at Matthew 13, 24. It says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weed also appeared. This is the seed that gets sabotaged. It's number four in your notes. The word is sabotaged. You have a destiny. You have a great destiny. Things that you are supposed to do. The good seed of God is in you. But Matthew 13 also says you have an enemy, and your enemy loves to catch you sleeping and plant weeds among the wheat. It's a sabotage. Distractions in the midst of destiny. The enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. So the enemy can't take away your destiny. He can only plant something next to it that will keep you from recognizing it. Weeds among the wheat. You see, God is always scattering seed in your life, blessings and opportunities, but there's an enemy. It's distraction, it's lust, it's perversion, it's greed. The enemy sees this and he knows he can't take away your calling, but maybe I can let someone offend them. And they'll let that root of bitterness grow down in them. And maybe it will choke out the love in their heart, and they won't be able to function in the world. They'll isolate themselves. There's wheat, but now there's a weed. The enemy has planted the seed, and then it says he went away. He doesn't have to make that seed grow. He's planted it, and now you are watering it. You wake up in the morning and God has a plan to bless you that day, and the enemy says, you know what I'll do? I'll frustrate them before they ever get a mindset for this day. And I think I'll frustrate them on I-35 or 75 or I-30, whatever freeway you're taking. And it says in the parable that everyone was sleeping. Do not let the enemy catch you spiritually sleeping. He will wreck your field. He will wreck your family. He wants to get you so busy that you won't be on top of it. Look at your neighbor and say, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. All right, look at your other neighbor and say, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what I'm talking about. I was excited to say that today. But when we come to church and we were in his presence, God, the master gardener, he has this way of uprooting this stuff that doesn't belong there. He has this way of getting down beneath the surface of why things are wrong, and he pulls it, he pulls it up by the root. He says, I'm going to take this stuff if you'll let me, if you get your focus back on me. You know that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Not a distracted, divided, sometimes I'm in, sometimes I'm out. When the sun comes up, I get scorched by the heat kind of focus. No, God wants to bring back a sense of focus in your life. I can't help what the enemy has planted in my past, but I can stand here in my present and I can press forward towards the calling that God has for my life. I have a destiny, and I refuse to let distraction keep me from it. I refuse to let this sidetrack me from stepping into my purpose. I refuse to let the enemy destroy my family while I'm sleeping. I'm awake, and I see what you're doing. And it won't work this time because God's about to uproot some stuff. Come on, don't you want your mind back? Don't you want your joy back? Don't you want your peace back? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and to snatch, and to scorch, and to sabotage. But Jesus said that I came that you might have life. Live. Let the seed live. Let this thing sprout. God put destiny inside of you, and it's time to come alive. Amen? The farmer went forth and sowed seed. And that's what I've been trying to do today as I've preached. Today is sow seed. The seed of the Word of God. And if everybody would right now, just bow your heads. Close your eyes and just take a moment. Before we rush out of here and get distracted by the next thing that won't matter, or we get distracted by the next thing that will be waiting for you when you leave, and just take a moment to seal this seed of the Word of God in your heart. And as we sit here and reflect, I'd like for you, if you would, take your notes. And I want you just to write something down. We left some space at the bottom on the right. Maybe write something that you're going to do this week to get your focus back. Maybe it's to cancel some appointments. Maybe it's to maybe you need to make some appointments. Maybe you need to delete every social media app on your phone. Get rid of it. Maybe you need to get a calendar and start planning a time when you're going to focus on God's Word and be in His presence. Maybe it's that fitness goal you've been talking about. What is it going to take to get your focus back? What is it going to take? God has a plan for you, a destiny for you, and it's great. If you would, everybody, go ahead and stand with me today. Don't be caught sleeping. Be on top of it. Get your focus back. Let's pray. Lord, I know that we've all been distracted, that we've had no root, that we've run here and there, sometimes aimlessly, but God, in this moment, we are focusing our attention and turning to you. Lord, make our path straight as we leave here today. Lord, we want to be alive in you. Lord, help this good seed grow in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.